This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hey, Anton, it's such a tragedy to hear about that bus accident. And indeed, we pray for the families of those who've lost loved ones. And Don, also just to mention, many of our listeners will know Pastor Andy Pitt. He was a pastor in Somerset West at the Baptist Church and was one of the founders of Sunsurf in the Strand. And he also passed away in Australia last night. For the last year or so, he'd been suffering with a muscular degenerative disease. And so we just send blessings to his wife, Debbie, and their kids, and to all who remember Andy. Yeah, life can be difficult, eh?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, Anton, so this week I happen to be in Rome. Can you imagine it? The Eternal City. I'm here to speak at a conference yesterday and today, and later today I have some meetings with, as you know, I'm a Methodist, with the Methodist representatives to the Vatican. So I have some meetings there later this afternoon. And oh my goodness, Rome has been scorching. It's close to 40 degrees every day. And, you know, I must say, I'm no longer accustomed to the heat, you know. I'm no longer accustomed to the heat. But Anton, what I'd like to talk about today is a passage that I came across yesterday, John chapter 8, in my devotion. So as many of our listeners know, I follow the Lectio 365 and was reading the passage yesterday of the woman caught in adultery. Now, listen to even the way in which that is described. If you look at the Bibles that we use, English, Afrikaans, isiXhosa, you'll often see these little headings that have been added over the passages. And of course, those didn't exist in the original texts. They were added by later translators and publishers of Bibles, just to make the texts, you know, break them into sort of thematic areas. But that little heading, the woman caught in adultery, of course, is already something of a challenge, because how is it possible that only a woman could be caught in adultery? Where is the man with whom she was committing the act of adultery? So this kind of framing already tells us something about the ways in which we think about sin and judgment. And I'd like to talk just a little bit about that today, if I can. The reality is, Anton, all of us as human beings have a sort of extraordinary ability to decide who and what is right and who is wrong, and who deserves our affirmation and who deserves our judgment. I mean, you just have to stand in a queue at the bank during your lunch hour and someone pushes to the front and you immediately know there's this innate sense. All of you say, hey, the back of the queue is over there. Now, this parable in John chapter 8, if you think about it, that this would be included in the Gospels, that out of every single thing that Jesus did in his ministry and life, this particular story gets included, tells us something very important about what the Lord wanted us to learn. Again, for our listeners, just to think about this, you know, the writing of the Gospels was not something easy like today. We just type a message out on our phones. There were very few people who could write, number one. And number two, the resources for writing, so paper and ink, these things were incredibly scarce. So when they put together the Gospel narratives, they made some absolutely critical choices about what to include and exclude. And John's Gospel in particular even shows us, it sort of opens up that choice. If you go and read John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, you'll see there that the writer of the Gospel says, you know, Jesus did many other things and said many other things, but what we have included here, we included because they may continue to help you in your faith, may continue to help you to believe. So here Jesus is, this woman, he tells the story of this woman who is brought before the Schriftgeleerdes, you know, those teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and people want to stone her. They condemn her. And the reality is that even in that act, we can see that the judgment is somewhat skewed. It's possible that even the man with whom she was committing adultery might have been in that crowd, that he was one of those who was condemning there. And of course, the teachers of the law, they want to trap Jesus, and he avoids that trap. So what they're trying to do is set up a kind of false dichotomy, a tension between mercy and justice. And so they ask him, you know, what are you going to do about this? And Jesus, instead of immediately condemning the woman, quietly bends down and he writes in the dust. Now, this is one of the mysteries of the Gospels. We don't know what he wrote there. He might have written something about the law. It's interesting, by the way, that Jesus himself could write. It says something exceptional about him. We know he spent some time in the temple, so it's possible he learned to write there. Some scholars say perhaps he wrote the name of the man with whom she was caught. Whatever he was writing in the sand there, we don't know. What we do know is that Jesus avoids this kind of trap of saying we have to do one thing or the other. So he then responds and he says, let any of you who is without sin be the first one to throw a stone. Now, that I think is also an important part of the telling of the story. Note that Jesus doesn't say that sin doesn't matter. He clearly notices there's a sin. So he says, it's not that the sin doesn't matter, but he says, be careful that in seeing that sin, you don't allow yourself to sin. The second thing he also doesn't say is he doesn't say that justice is unimportant. He simply reminds those who are accusing to say, listen, when it comes to holding someone accountable for their wrongdoing, remember that you are not morally superior. So this, I think, is a lesson that we can take away from this story. One of the lessons, if we look at it, that it always begins, our judgment of others must always begin with a sense of self-examination. Let me say one thing further, Anton. So the other thing that really struck me when I was reading this passage is that mercy and truth always belong together. You know, when they leave without having stoned her, Jesus turns to the woman and he says, you know, neither do I condemn you. I'm also not going to condemn you. But notice what he says next. He's not just saying, listen, I'm not condemning you because you didn't sin or anything like that. He says, I'm not going to condemn you in this moment, but leave your life of sin behind. Go and sin no more, some translations say. So this for me is another thing. You know, I've done many things wrong in my life, and I'm grateful that God is gracious, and I'm grateful that I belong to a community that bears the name of Christ, the Christian church, that is gracious and compassionate. But I'm also gracious that they hold my feet to the fire, that they hold me responsible, that they say to me, even though you are forgiven, you have to be transformed. We're not going to humiliate you, but we need you to know that you have to live a different kind of life. So this is the last thing maybe to mention. That approach to sin, we can see, is deeply restorative. It's not meant to other the person. It's not meant to break them down, to humiliate them. It says, what can I do to restore you to the kind of life that you should be living? So Anton, I was quite deeply challenged by that this week. And, you know, as I've been focusing over the last little while on this thing of dealing with others, recognizing others, particularly the vulnerable, the strangers in our midst, this story just struck me. So one last verse, James chapter 2, verse 13 says, mercy triumphs over judgment. So yeah, may the Lord give us wisdom and grace and make us more Christ-like. Help us to de-escalate situations, to be truthful and self-reflective, and to help to restore people.
Absolutely. Amen to that. All right. Enjoy Rome or Italy and try and stay cool. I mean, you said it's close to 40 degrees there. Sure. So, yeah. Enjoy it, and we'll chat again next week.
Thanks, Anton. God bless you. Bye then.
Bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.